Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and I am coming at you live back from Marietta, Georgia, no longer up in New York, but my sidekick, Melanie Rubin, who lives up there, has been covering the Open since I came home on Thursday, and I have her with me today, and she's going to be filling us in on what went on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we're going to be chatting a little bit about our experience working together at the U.S. Open for our second time. It was really fun. We had a blast. And for those of you listening in live, if you want to call in, if you were up at the Open and want to call in and share your experience, that call-in number is 714-583-6853. Again, 714-583-6853. Or if you just have questions you want to ask us, we're here for you. So call in and, ask away. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Melanie on because I'm sure we will have plenty to talk about. Melanie, thanks for calling in today and joining me.
Lisa, I miss you. Come on back to New York.
I miss you, too. I came back and had a quick turnaround to a junior tournament with my son, so it's been a bit crazy, but thank you for all the tweets and photos and Facebook posts that you've been sending my way, and hopefully our listeners have enjoyed seeing all of our extensive coverage. Hope we didn't overload anybody too much. So, Melanie, you were at the Open. You didn't go, I don't think, Thursday after I left, but you were there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the first thing I want to talk about before we jump into your personal experiences at the Open, because we're going to talk about that too, but the first thing I wanted to touch on was this new collegiate invitational tournament that USTA hosted during the Open this year. And I had the opportunity to watch the first round, well, most of the first round matches on Thursday before I left town, but you were there for the second and third round matches, which I guess were the semis and finals. So can you share, I don't know if you had an opportunity to talk to any of the players or to go in any of their press conferences, but can you share with us a little bit about that experience and what you saw out there?
Absolutely. It was wonderful. I mean, kudos to the U.S. Open and the USTA for putting this together. Forgive me, Lisa. I'm getting a feedback. I don't know if I'm coming through clearly to you.
You're fine on my end.
Oh, okay. So I'll just ignore the feedback. I watched the finals of both the girls and the boys, and it was such high level of tennis, and it was so wonderful to be spotlighting college tennis. And speaking with them afterwards, I spoke with the finalists and the champions afterwards, and they were so excited to be representing their colleges and universities. They were so excited to be on the grounds of the U.S. Open, during the U.S. Open. And, it really, like we said, it was so wonderful to spotlight college tennis this way, and everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised at the crowds that were there on Thursday for the first round matches. I mean, all the kids seemed to have a lot of support. Family and friends were there, but also just general tennis fans came out to support them.
Well, that's one of the beauties of having it on the grounds, because your grounds pass, which actually the U.S. Open had discount grounds passes on Saturday. So for $25, you got to see matches outside of Arthur Ashe, and some of those happened to be the championship for this first invitational collegiate tournament. And there wasn't an abundance of people, but there were plenty of people there cheering on the kids. And it was a great experience.
Well, your son is now a college player, so have you asked him, is he hoping to get invited next year, or have you heard any buzz about that?
You know what, that's not something we've talked about. You know, he is now a college student officially for a week, and we've talked about some other things, but that in particular we haven't talked about. But I did send him the pictures from the tournament because, you know, it's his friends that were playing in it, and, you know, he liked to see those pictures.
Sure. So the finalists on the women's side were Jamie Loeb, who plays at UNC, and Julielle Baba, who plays at UVA. And Jamie won that match, won the final. But both of the girls are New York natives, is that right?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, Noah and Jessie, my daughter, they trained with Julia for years. And then more recently, Noah has trained with Jamie. So, you know, we're very familiar with the families and with the girls. And it was just very exciting, you know, to be here in New York and have, you know, these two New Yorkers, you know, playing for the title. It added an extra level of excitement. It was nice.
Sure. And on the guys' side, we had Marcos Giron from UCLA and Peter Cobelt from Ohio State. Gosh, I just blanked there for a second. And Marcos won that match. And Marcos just recently turned pro, actually, and will not be returning to UCLA for his senior year. So I'm wondering, did you have an opportunity to talk to him at all, and did he have any thoughts?
One thing we did talk about was how proud he was to be wearing his UCLA cap during this match. I mean, because it's unusual, you know, in a tournament, in most of these tournaments, you're not representing your college or your university, and the fact that they got to do that, they loved that. They had pride in that, and Marco's a great kid, and, you know, he was very proud of wearing his UCLA gear.
That's awesome. I did find out that because of NCAA restrictions, the players were not allowed to wear their school-issued tennis clothes, but that USTA actually had clothing specially made for them in their school colors, so that it was pretty obvious to anybody who follows college sports which school each player represented, which I thought was a really cool thing. And also,
no, that is a cool thing. It wasn't, you know, there weren't giant school symbols on them, but you could definitely see and tell, and that was nice.
Yeah, and I also found out, which I thought was interesting, because, again, of NCAA rules, they couldn't put up on the scoreboard which school the player was representing, but the chair umpire could announce which school they were playing for, and USTA really did a great job at prepping the chair umpires to make sure that they knew exactly which school each player was from and that they mentioned that.
Absolutely, I noticed that as well.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. All right, so let's switch gears. The collegiate tournament was a big success, and hopefully, oh, and one more thing I want to point out about the collegiate tournament, actually, and I thought this was very interesting. The collegiate tournament used traditional scoring in the matches. They did not use the no-ad scoring that the college teams will be using during this next school year. And I actually asked Bill Mountford at USTA about that, why they decided to go with traditional scoring instead of no-ad. And his answer, his explanation was that it was because the tournament was played under U.S. Open rules. So I'm not sure how that all fits in, because the juniors play a different scoring system than the main draw, and then the collegiate players played anyway, I'm not sure how that all ties in, but I did find it interesting and just wanted to point out to listeners that this tournament did use traditional scoring, which I thought was awesome, and there were plenty of games during the matches that I saw that had several deuce-ad, you know, points and went back and forth and a lot of excitement around that. So just kind of a cool aside. Okay, so Melanie, did you have a chance to watch any of the wheelchair tennis while you were there?
I did. And let me tell you something. The true champions that were out there, I mean, I give them so much credit. I saw some wheelchair tennis and then what they call wheelchair quad, and those athletes don't have the same mobility as the wheelchair tennis players. And it was just fascinating to see the preparation that would go into just getting on the court. And I give them all sorts of credit, and it was really a beautiful thing to watch. And you know what? And there were plenty of fans out there, and really it was great to see.
It's one of those things that, you know, I feel like most tennis fans don't get an opportunity to see, and it really is unbelievable. We have had the opportunity here in Atlanta to see some of the wheelchair and the wheelchair quad events. They host a couple different tournaments here in town, and it is, I mean, to see these athletes on the court, you know, you feel silly complaining about heat and humidity, you know, when you're able-bodied out there playing, when you watch these athletes, and they are unbelievably talented.
Unbelievable. I mean, in fact, I'm just one of the athletes. I watched him getting prepared to go on court. He used a whole roll of white athletic tape to tape the racket to his hand.
Wow.
And when you think about that, when you watch that, it just, you know, it's a whole other level and a whole, you know, a whole respect that you get for these athletes.
Sure, sure. Okay, so we've talked about the collegiate, we've talked about the wheelchair and wheelchair quad. Let's talk about the juniors a little bit. Your son played in the juniors last year, your son Noah, and I got to watch him play last year. This year, he decided not to play juniors and to get himself down to Wake Forest so he could jump into his classes and his training down there. But a lot of the same players that I got to see last year at the Junior Open were there again this year, and then a lot of new faces. So you are so connected into that facet of the tennis world, that high-level international junior play. I'm wondering if you have any observations or any thoughts on the tournament this year and who you saw and, you know, just any insights you'd like to share.
You know, it's a wonderful tournament. And, again, the fact that, you know, you're playing on the ground, could be the next court over from the men's main draw or the women's main draw. And it's just, you know, the excitement level, because it's a junior slam. It's just, you know, you can feel it in the air. And, you know, it's wonderful for me personally, because I'm connected with I have so many friends, you know, that I've known for so many years, that you don't necessarily see that often, but maybe once a year at a slam you'll see them. And, you know, the families, it's just an awesome experience. And I think a lot of the kids that come from countries that have a number of players, they find the same thing, that's where they'll meet up with the people that they know most. And then their friends from across the world that they haven't seen since another slam, or maybe since the U.S. Open Juniors last year. I think there's a social aspect of this that is great, because you know what? A lot of these kids, my son included, you know, he left traditional school a couple of years ago. Others haven't been in school much, you know, for much longer. And, you know, the social piece of it, these are their friends. These are the kids they're traveling with and they're spending the most time with. So, you know, to meet up with them in person and year after year, it's really very special.
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I thought was kind of an interesting experience this year, I would say, is that we had several of our American players who had opportunities to play in the main draw and then also played in the juniors. And it was kind of a cool thing to watch them transition from playing main draw U.S. Open against, you know, players who I'm sure they have idolized, to, you know, stepping back into the junior competition. And I don't know if you talked to Noah about this at all, but maybe you can share a little bit about the difference in the pressure that these kids feel when they're competing in the main draw versus the juniors?
I mean, just speaking about Noah, the pressure competing in the main draw this year, the press that was involved, it was overwhelming. And the fact that it is, you know, as he kept saying, in his backyard and everyone we've ever known was there, there was a lot of pressure involved. But, and I've spoken to Noah and I've spoken to some of the other kids about this, the ones who played in the main draw and in the juniors. You know, you have to remember that while it's not the main draw, the juniors that they're playing against are the best in the world. And there is a tremendous amount of pressure. And, you know, the level of tennis is just so high that there is still a great amount of pressure both ways. It may be different pressure and maybe even less pressure in some ways. Who was it? Was it Jared who played Monfils in the first round?
Uh-huh.
Of the main, of the men's main, if I'm remembering correctly. I mean, there was a little less pressure on him maybe because you have such a high-level player that he's playing against, but yet he wants to, you know, prove himself out there. So, you know, there's different pressures in different ways, but I think that everyone really enjoyed their experience and learned from their experiences, win or lose.
Well, one of
in
the
either
things,
draw.
Sure. One of the things that I found interesting was, you know, after Jared had that opportunity to play Monfils in the main draw, and you know, I was at that match. You were there with me, too. We were...
Yes, I was.
And, you know, he held his own out there. I mean, it was very impressive to see him. But then as soon as the junior started, all the buzz began about Jared Donaldson's the favorite to win the Junior U.S. Open. Jared Donaldson's the favorite. He's going to win. Blah, 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 blah. And it just was, you know, I would think for him a lot of pressure. I think his coach and his parents do a really good job of shielding him from a lot of that talk. But, you know, then he comes out and he plays a great opening round, a great second round, and winds up losing in the third round to actually the eventual winner of the Junior U.S. Open. So, I mean, it's not like he lost to some, you know, random kid who didn't put up a fight. But, you know, it would be interesting to talk to him at this point and find out, because he has turned pro, you know, how do you handle that? And I felt bad for him. I felt like there was so much expectation, including from me. I mean, I was writing about it, too, and, you know, that's a rough thing to deal with.
It is a lot to deal with, and especially, yes, he played beautifully against Monfils. He, you know, but everyone was talking about that he's definitely one of the favorites to win the tournament, and it's no different from any level of junior play if you're the first seed or weren't the first seed, but a kid that everyone is expecting to win whatever tournament at whatever level, there's a lot of pressure on you. And when you're the first seed in any tournament, you know, everyone's gunning for you, everyone's talking about you, and that's a lot of pressure at any level to deal with. But especially, you know, add the pressure that you're at a junior slam, you know, everyone, cameras, people from other countries are talking about you. It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. And you know what? These kids are just kids. You know, they're still 16, 17, 18 years old. They're still just kids, and it's a lot to deal with. And I, you know, kudos to all of them who can even get out there and hit the ball.
That is
seriously.
I know. You're absolutely right, and it is hard to remember sometimes that they are just kids. And for a lot of them, I mean, you and I discussed this while I was there. You know, they've never received any type of formal media training, yet they're bombarded with requests to be on camera or on tape or be interviewed for print media. And on top of all that, they're trying to manage, you know, their training, their practices, their diet, their sleep, and for the ones traveling internationally, you know, adjusting to the time change. I mean, it is a lot to deal with, and I mean, it's crazy out there, and for the most part, every one of the kids that I saw handled it really well, very gracefully.
They really did, and let me say for the little amount of press that I personally have done, it's hard. It's really hard when people are coming at you, asking you questions, cornering you. You know, you want to sound proper. You want to answer the question that they're asking. You want to say the right thing. You want to represent yourself and your family and your country properly. And I know as an adult, you know, not having any training and just having a little bit of press on me, how challenging that is. So I can't even imagine. And someone like Cece, 15 years old, handling herself so beautifully, it's really something to be admired.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Cece Bellis for a second, because we watched her play. We had, both of us had the opportunity to chat with her parents a bit, to chat with her for a second. And at 15, I mean, she had an amazing win in the main draw of the U.S. Open. She got a wild card into the main draw by virtue of winning the National Hard Courts in San Diego, which is the girls' version of Kalamazoo for those parents of boys who may not know that there's also a girls' tournament that goes on. And she won that and got a wild card in, and then took out Sibulkova in her opening round match, who was the 12th seed. And the crowd, I mean, I was at that match. The crowd was insane. I mean, people were climbing on stairs, sitting on railings, sitting on the ground, like yours truly, trying to just get a peek at this young girl who was making such a splash. And then poor kid has to turn around and play the juniors after all that. And it was pretty impressive. And were you with me in that press conference as well? I'm sorry. I'm like, everything has turned to mush now, but
I believe I was. It all kind of melds together.
I know. It's crazy. It was a long 2 weeks. But, I mean, the way Cece handled herself in the press conference was unbelievable. She's very mature and very poised. And, you know, it was just cool to see. And you know, you go back. I mean, she's turned 15 in May, I think. So, you know, it's not even like she's almost 16. I mean, she's young.
And to keep up, you know, if you think about it, they're there at the Open and, you know, for the main draw, these kids have played both. And the level of intensity of their emotions, of their play, of their head, they have to keep that up for a very long period of time. And, you know, the expectations that are on them for the main draw, and then the expectations that are on them for the juniors. I mean, I'm not looking for anyone to cry for them, because it's an amazing opportunity and they're very lucky and fortunate to be where they are and to have achieved enough to get there and experience this. But it's not easy. And again, she's 15, just 15 years old. I mean, I commend her and I commend her parents, who are lovely people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, so let's talk about Noah for a minute, because this was really an amazing couple of weeks for your whole family. It was Noah's first chance to play in the main draw of the U.S. Open. He got there by virtue of winning Kalamazoo, which was a huge win. Prior to Kalamazoo, he had won Junior Wimbledon, which was a huge win. And now here he is playing in the main draw of the U.S. Open against an Argentine player, I think it's Federico Del Bonis, I think Federico is his first name, who is a lefty, tall guy, very experienced on the tour. And yet, because Del Bonis wasn't seeded, all of a sudden everybody's saying, oh, well, this is a winnable match for Noah, which was crazy pressure. I mean, you and I talked about that. Like, you know, if for a kid who gets to play Federer or Monfils first round, nobody's saying, oh, it's a winnable match. But because this is a non-seeded player, all of a sudden it's a winnable match for an 18-year-old playing in his first Grand Slam main draw. I mean, I know you talked to Noah about that pressure and how to manage it. And in a second, I'm going to play a little clip we recorded during Noah's match. But, I mean, do you have any thoughts on how Noah handled that?
I mean, I think he handled it fairly well. I give him credit. He handled it far better than I could, but his nerves definitely got the best of him. It was, you know, a packed crowd. And, yes, everybody was telling him it was a winnable match, which is the kiss of death. You know, you can't say that. And you've got a guy who's top in the world at what he does. And you get, like you said, it was Noah's first Grand Slam main draw appearance, hopefully the first of many, but who knows. It was a lot of pressure. And Noah is definitely someone who handles pressure better than the average person, but it was a little too much, and I think it got to him. And he said it got to him. His nerves really came into play when it came to this match. And next time won't be the first time, and that's what we have to say. And that's what he does say. Next time won't be the first time that he steps on the court as a main draw player. And it was a great learning experience in many, many ways. But he also feels confident enough in himself, having played against Delbonis, thinking that he can hang in there. Given another opportunity at another time, that he could hang in there with the best in the world.
Sure. Well, I want to play a little clip. I interviewed you briefly during his singles match against Delbonis, so I'm going to just play that clip right now. So hang on one second.
I don't really remember it, but okay.
I know. I'm sure you were in La La Land out there, but here we go. Oh, maybe. Well, it doesn't want to play. Okay, never mind. I guess we're not playing that clip.
Oh, no. Okay.
But one of the things that I really, you know, had tried to do during Noah's match was to watch you and to watch Jesse, his sister, and to watch your mom. I couldn't really see your dad. He was sitting across on the other side of the court. In the shade. It was plenty hot out there. But to observe your body language, your facial expressions, and I have to say, I am in awe of you and Jesse, especially your ability to maintain a calm outward appearance. I know on the inside you probably weren't feeling as calm, but the two of you were unbelievable. Your mom is a whole other story. God love her. She's such a Jewish grandma, and she's awesome, and I was hoping to play the clip from her, too. Now I'm not so sure I have. I'm having a little technical issue here. But one of the funny things that your mom said after the first set was, you know, oh, it was just the first set. Noah's got three more sets to win, and then he'll be through to the next round. I mean, she did not lose faith in him for one iota of a second. And, you know, she had all the confidence in the world that he was going to pull this match out, which was amazing. And I think, you know, you did too, but were also a bit more realistic about the circumstances that he was facing. And so, I mean, do you remember at all how you were feeling out there during that match?
I do. And remember, and I think about Noah, but it was overwhelming for me as well. Everyone we knew came. People I haven't seen in years were coming to watch and say they were there. And everyone at that time was saying, and he's going to win this, and he's going to win this. And the newspaper and the TV, everybody was leading up to this. And there was, you know, a lot of heightened emotion there. When my kid walked out on that court, it was just overwhelming pride and joy. And I've said this 1,000 times, and I swear I mean it. Win or lose, how blessed that he's gotten to that point, that he has this experience. And I think Jesse agrees with me with this, that we just are appreciating it for what it is. Of course I want him to win. Of course I want him to win for himself. And I know how disappointed he was that he didn't win. But just the learning experience and being a part of this and just the opportunities, it was just overwhelming and wonderful. And while I guess I wasn't calm inside because of everything that was going on, I was calm in the knowledge of knowing that I needed to appreciate every moment of it. And I did.
Right.
I did. I loved seeing him out there.
I'm going to try and play this clip from your mom, and we'll see if it comes through. Bear with me one second, because it's classic. Bear with me one second.
Okay. Oh, God. I don't even...
I'm with Natalie Siegel. She is grandmother to Noah Rubin, and she's sitting here watching her grandson play in his very first U.S. Open main draw match. He just lost the first set, but he fought well. What are you thinking while you're sitting here watching your grandson out there?
It's just exciting to be here and see my grandson out on the court. And there are still three more sets to go for him to win. So we're looking forward to better, bigger and better next time.
Thank you so much.
Well, that is classic Natalie right there. Could you hear it, Natalie?
She actually sounded a little more calm than I would have anticipated.
Well, she was, you know, they were already playing again, so she was trying to keep her voice low so that she didn't disturb Noah on the court. But, she was awesome. So, I mean, it definitely was one of those kind of surreal experiences, I imagine. And I've already uploaded the clip we did during the draw ceremony and, you know, your excitement over getting to see Noah's name up there on the draw. But, you know, this was kind of the culmination. I'm sitting courtside. Your son is on the court playing in the U.S. Open. Holy cow. Everybody you know, as you mentioned, was there. I mean, and maybe you can talk a little bit about all of the emails and text messages and Facebook messages you were getting the day before and 2 days before and 3 days before. What time is Noah going to play? Where's his match going to be? How do I get to...
That's right. I mean, it really has started ever since he won the Junior Wimbledon, and it's been overwhelming. I keep saying overwhelming, but it's all for good things, and it's all wonderful, but it has been a lot to handle and to navigate. And, yes, leading up to the main draw matches, the phones did not stop, the Facebook inbox messages, the text messages, everybody wanting to know when is he playing, what court is he playing on, which day should we buy grounds passes for. And, you know, what's difficult for the players and their families is you don't know when they're going to play. You don't know what day they're playing. And you know what? It's expensive. And you can't buy tickets for every day hoping that you've gotten a ticket for the day that he'll play, you know, and because we had a lot of people coming out that wouldn't have necessarily gone to the U.S. Open if it wasn't for Noah playing.
Right.
So, you know, it was great. It was great. And we love the fact that everybody was coming out to support him. But it was also very challenging.
Right.
And I actually reached out to more seasoned tennis friends asking for advice on how to handle this. And I know when you and I had spoken with Wayne Bryan and Steve Johnson Sr., they were both saying, you know what, you need to just tell everybody to handle themselves and you take care of yourself and your family. And in a way, obviously that's very good advice, but I enjoyed everyone's support and I enjoyed telling people where my son was going to be playing and helping people get tickets and so on and so forth. So it was challenging and exciting and overwhelming and wonderful. How's that?
That's great. And after the match, I mean, I know Noah was disappointed in the outcome, but he came back and was at your house, and I'm sure y'all had some time to talk. At that point, I was staying with one of your friends to give you some family time with your son and your parents. And so can you share any of what y'all talked about afterwards or how you spent the time afterwards? Because he was also playing in the main draw of the doubles because
yes,
he and Stefan Kozlov had won Kalamazoo doubles, so the two of them had a doubles match coming up.
A lot of the talk was focused on that. Actually, you know what? I take it all back. We didn't talk tennis right then. I forgot about this. I made a very good point not to speak about tennis before his singles match and before his doubles match. We were really just talking about regular stuff. Look, he was leaving for college in a few days. We weren't exactly sure when. There was a lot of stuff to prepare for that. And we did not speak about tennis and the match. Not at that time.
Okay. And so he spent his time because, again, his grandparents were there as well. You sent me pictures of Grandma rubbing his back and, you know, really nice family time, which I thought was wonderful that y'all had that opportunity together, especially before he's leaving for college, which, you know, in and of itself is a stressful event to happen in a kid's life and a family's life, and add to that, you know, the craziness of, oh my God, my kid's playing in the main draw of the U.S. Open. Holy cow. So it's a lot to deal with.
You know what? All athletes have to do this, but, you know, like you say, obviously disappointed when he lost his match and then has to go do press. And because he's a New York kid, the amount of press was just, you know, there was a lot of people there that wanted a piece of him. And that's challenging. So when we got away from the U.S. Open, it was really fun. You know, he loves his Xbox. He loves playing FIFA on Xbox. You know, he likes... At that point, I think he had one friend who still hadn't left for college. He went for ices with that kid, with his friend Max. But in general, we were not talking about tennis. We were just talking about other things and keeping him relaxed and just hanging out like a regular kid would do before he was leaving for school.
And like every good Jewish grandma, Natalie prepared his favorite dish for him. You want to share?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kasha Vanishkis is something in my family that my grandma Betty used to make, and now my mom makes for us, and we all just devour it. And yes, my mother made it for Noah while she was before he left the school, and we pretty much eat it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And basically, what it is, it's a grain, and it's bow tie pasta and some sautéed onions, and it's just delicious.
And I got the opportunity to have a taste because I begged her to please put aside one little bite for me. I didn't want to deprive
her. It was hard to save some.
I know, but thank you for doing that. And all I can say to my Southern listeners is equate it to grits. I mean, it's Jewish comfort food. It was, you know, one of those things that you taste it and you just kind of go, ah. So thank you for saving me a bit, and I will be pressing your mom to share the recipe at some point in the future so I can make it.
Okay.
It was yummy. All right, so Noah plays a singles match, then he plays his main draw doubles match with Stefan, who he had played in the final of Junior Wimbledon. They've known each other forever. They trained together, they've traveled together, they won Kalamazoo together, and lo and behold, the draw comes out for doubles, and they're set to face two Americans, Mike Russell and Gerald Donaldson, in the first round. So how crazy was that, that three of the four players on the court in that match were 18 and under?
And you know what? You know, because I'm friendly with the Donaldsons, and you know, I messaged Courtney, Jared's dad. What are the odds that they, you know, get each other in the first round? And you know, it's unfortunate, but I always say this when American teams meet each other or American players meet each other, it's not two American teams moving on. One of the teams has to lose. And this time it was Noah and Stefan. It was a great match. You were there. They all played beautifully. And Noah and Stefan didn't win. Jared and Mike won, and they moved on to play the Bryan brothers.
Which was so cool. I mean, that...
It was,
you know,
so cool.
Yeah. And the Bryan brothers, holy cow, won their 100th title yesterday, which is...
Unbelievable. I was there at the match. I was there. It was... Fabulous.
Yeah. Okay, talk about that match a second, and then we're going to come back to Noah.
Oh, it was just, there was so much excitement. Again, I mean, I guess it's a different kind of pressure because they've been up at the top for so long, but there was pressure on them because, you know, to win the 100th time. And it was just, it was a great match. It was great doubles on both sides of the court. It really, there was excitement in the air. You could feel it. And, you know, you and I, for most of the matches in Ash, we sat pretty low down. We had wonderful seats, media seats. For the Bryans, I was pretty high up. I had a bird's eye view. So it was an interesting way to watch it compared to how we felt so close to the action. But it was nice to see it from that vantage point. I really enjoyed that. And even that high up, everyone around was just so excited.
That's very cool. Yeah. We, you know, you and I had the opportunity, as you mentioned before, to talk with Wayne, the dad to Bob and Mike Bryan. And, you know, we kept running into him on the grounds and, you know, got a chance to meet Bob's kids. And it just was, I mean, to me, so exciting to have them win this championship and reach that milestone in their career. And they are two of the best guys to be ambassadors for the sport of tennis in the U.S., but also internationally. I mean, they're incredible. And talk about media pressure. Holy cow. I mean, those guys are constantly being bombarded by media requests, by events that want them to make an appearance. And, you know, they really have done a phenomenal job at representing tennis well on a worldwide stage.
They are champions in every sense of the word. They truly are. And you're right, ambassadors, like none other. Correct.
And you even have in your home signed posters from them that, you know, that you, I don't know if you won them or they were props at events or...
It was a raffle that I had won, actually. That's right. That was in the room you were staying in.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, kind of funny aside, for my son's bar mitzvah 5 years ago, I had met Wayne shortly before that. He was in Atlanta doing an event, and I went and told him that my son's bar mitzvah was coming up and that he was a tennis player and he was putting on a charity event to raise money for a local tennis charity. And, you know, by any chance, did he have any autographed things he could send for us to raffle off at our event? And wouldn't you know it, he pulls out of his bag all of this autographed stuff, memorabilia, and gave it to me for my son's event.
Oh, is it? That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, that's how those guys roll, and they are incredibly generous with their time, with their resources, and with their talents. So big congratulations to the whole family, because that was just an amazing accomplishment for them. So, okay, so let's go back. Now Noah's played his doubles. They had a great match. His experience at the U.S. Open was coming to a close. But he quickly had to change gears, and you quickly had to change gears, because he was leaving for his freshman year of college 2 days after that doubles match. Let's talk a little bit about what went into the preparation. I know y'all had been already down to Wake Forest for the lead-up event to the U.S. Open. Noah had actually played his debut ATP Tour match there in Winston-Salem. But there was still, I'm sure, plenty of last-minute shopping and packing and organizing to be done. So can you fill us in on what went on?
Sure, yes. When we had been down for orientation at Wake Forest, you know, it was a lot. It was overwhelming for us in a way, for me and for Noah. But Noah hasn't been in a classroom in 3 years. You know, he's been doing online school, you know, since 10th grade started. And so as the books were cut, we went, you know, and picked up his books at the bookstore and got everything together, you know, the realization set in that, hey, I'm starting class like, you know, like every other kid right now. And that's a lot to take in. In fact, last night on the phone with him, he's been at Wake for a week now. And when I was talking with him last night, you know, I said to him, I go, how are you doing? Because, you know, you're a freshman. Are you having, like, the freshman type emotions? Do you miss your mommy? That type of thing. And, you know, it is different. It is different for him because he's done so much traveling. But, you know, he missed a week of classes, so this past week was actually the second week of school, but only his first week, so he had double the amount to make up for. And he started the conditioning and training with the team, which is quite intense, and it's a lot, but he's good. You know, he's doing well. Before he had left, after the doubles match, you're right, we only had about a day and a half until, you know, he was leaving for school, and, you know, we did some last-minute school shopping, and I think that was on Friday, last week on Friday, and I had said to him we were going to go out for dinner, and I said, you know, Noah, it's been a long day. Should we not go out for dinner? He's like, Ma, it's been a long summer. And, you know, so many ups and downs. I mean, great, great ups. I mean, he, you know, has accomplished so much this summer, but it was just a lot, you know, and now the next day was headed off to be a freshman, like, you know, every other freshman in the country. And, you know, he's handling it well. And, you know, one day at a time.
Right. Okay, so now I have to play the clip of the little chat we had at your house the morning that Noah left. It was and your mom and your dad. So hang on one second. I'm going to play this one.
I'm here at home with Melanie Rubin and her parents, Natalie and Jim Siegel, and Melanie's son, Noah, who played in the U.S. Open this week, in case y'all missed my thousands of posts on that, was just picked up to head to the airport to go off for his freshman year of college. Melanie, how are you feeling?
It's a very emotional time on so many different levels. It's been such an exciting week, such an exciting summer. We did a lot of crying this morning. Yesterday, Noah and I had done some last-minute college shopping, and I said to him, oh, we should get home because it's been a long day. He said, it's been a long summer. And I don't expect that he's going to get a chance to rest now that he's off to Wake Forest to embark on an exciting new adventure. And like I said, it's a lot of emotional upheavals and a lot of ups and downs, but all wonderful, all good things.
That's great to hear. And Natalie and Jim, you guys flew up from Florida to see your grandson play, and now he's headed to Wake. What are you feeling about that?
First of all, it was the most exciting thing to see my grandson on the courts of the U.S. Open. But today, when he left for college, it was so emotional. I know he always travels, but this is different. I love him so much, and I know he's going to do great in college.
Jim, you said that you might be in Atlanta to watch Wake Forest play Georgia Tech this year. I can't wait to see you. How's it going to be to watch him play on a college team as opposed to all these junior and now professional matches you've seen him play?
I'm totally looking forward to it. And as I told Noah this morning, as I hugged him, I told him, he's my hero.
Oh, that's so sweet. And I know you all have your Wake Forest gear already. And I hope, Melanie, you'll be in Atlanta for the Georgia Tech match, too. I owe you sleeping accommodations and coffee and breakfast and all these things that you've provided for me this week. But anything else you want to share? I mean, any words that you can share with other parents who may be going through this right now?
Well, I guess it's just, you know, now I've sent two kids off to college. Jesse, you know, was off to Binghamton a few years back and then came home. They do come home, and that's a wonderful thing. It's all wonderful. I'm at a loss for words right now only because it's been such an emotional morning, so forgive me for that. Another time I will absolutely give you some words of wisdom that I can come up with, but please forgive me for now.
We will definitely be talking as I stay here the rest of the week. Thanks so much.
So, Melanie, now's later. any words of advice now that you've had time to process all of this craziness?
You know what? Just like I said a few minutes ago, one day at a time, like anything else, whether it's good times or bad times in someone's life, just take everything one day at a time. You know, deal with what you have in front of you, and the next step will come, will automatically appear. It was. I'm listening to it now. When I was just listening to you play that, you know, I hadn't heard it since we recorded it. We were all crying at the time.
I know.
Because I think it was also just, you know, the culmination of so many emotions at that
right.
moment, you know, and it was, you know, so it was a lot. It was a lot to take in at that time, and I'm feeling it right now. But another thing, I am definitely giving him his space. You know, he's a freshman at college. You know, we text, we chat, but not too much. And it's only been a week, but my daughter told me, Ma, leave him alone. He's a freshman in college. So I'm leaving him alone a little bit.
I think that's very good advice. Jessie is a wise woman. You raised her well. But it's funny because I follow Noah on Twitter, and he posted something, I think it was yesterday, just about, you know, that it's been a rough week, you know, and that he hopes it gets easier or something to that effect. I don't remember the exact tweet, but I'm guessing pretty much every other college freshman was feeling the exact same thing after their first week at school. So these emotions and the stress and the nerves are all part of going away. And yes, I mean, he's got the added pressure of coming off this crazy roller coaster summer and going to play for one of the best college teams in the country. And that's a lot to deal with, but most of what he's feeling, I'm guessing, is very normal for college freshmen. And most of what you're feeling is very, you know, very common for the parents. I mean, I think I shared with you when my first daughter went off to college, I cried pretty much every day her freshman year. It was just, pathetic. So, it's just not when your baby leaves.
And I think, you know, it's a little bit easier for me because he has traveled. I mean, he's been traveling, literally traveling the country and traveling the world since he's 13 years old.
Right.
So, you know, he's not home a lot. Anyway, he hasn't been home a lot. So that's one thing I'm accustomed to. But I also have extra confidence in him, you know, to be able to handle himself and to be independent, because he's had all these experiences all these years. So, you know, we're lucky with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So we're down to our last few minutes, and I really want to get back to talking about kind of just this overall experience of being at the U.S. Open this year. And from my perspective, getting to share it with you, to share your experience, but also for me, I mean, this was my second year covering the Open. The excitement was just as intense as it was last year. And I have to say, there's something quite special about being at that event, having access that we were so lucky to have. And thank you so much to USTA for credentialing us again. And I hope they'll credential us again next year. I feel like, you know, to get that kind of behind-the-curtain view of professional tennis, junior tennis, collegiate tennis, wheelchair tennis, I mean, the Open holds all of that. And, you know, Melanie, I don't know if you share in that sentiment because, you know, you've had access behind the scenes for a long time through Noah and before him through Jesse, but I hope it was as fun for you as it was for me.
Oh, it's been unbelievable. This has been a wonderful, you know, 2.5, almost 3 weeks, actually, you know, starting in the qualies. Just, like you said, being there behind the scenes. I mean, look, we've been taking the kids since they were little to Arthur Ashe Kids Day and to the qualies and to some of the main draw matches. But to get it from this point of view, and then look, once Noah left the school, I actually appreciate, and you know, you saw it, I actually appreciated the Open in a whole different way, you know, not focusing on my son and how it what it had to do with him, but to focus more on the whole event. And, you know, you really, it's second to none. It really is an exciting atmosphere on the ground, in the stadiums. You have amazing fans, amazing high level of sport, and, you know, again, to go back to get a behind the scenes feel for it, it was really very special.
One of the things that we haven't talked about very much, and I haven't written about very much, is the experience of being in the media center and meeting these other, I don't even want to pretend like I'm in the same realm as these people, but meeting the media folks, the people whose names you see on the bylines at the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Tennis Magazine, I mean, on the air at ESPN, the Tennis Channel, CBS, I mean, you know, people I follow on Twitter and have been following on Twitter, people that I'm Facebook friends with, but, you know, on a very superficial level, now I've had the opportunity to spend time with them and get to know them. And the level of professionalism and their willingness to share their knowledge and share their experience with you and me as the new kids on the block, I just found that incredible.
Oh, they were so welcoming and so, you know, open to talk, to share. It was great. And yes, it was, you know, I was a little starstruck a few times, a lot of times.
I'm asking to take selfies with all these people. And they're like, really? I'm like, yes. I'm a huge fan.
That was great. It really was great.
It was.
And Lisa, I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to experience it this way.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it, you know, you did me a huge, huge service by not only being my sidekick, but also being my friend and putting me up for 2 weeks and taking me to some of your favorite restaurants and introducing me to some amazing people that live in the community and support you and support your family. So I really had a blast. I also want to make sure to give a shout out to Colette Lewis of Zoo Tennis and her husband Paul, who was at the Open as a photographer. The two of them, and Melanie, we experienced this last year as well, they were incredibly helpful in terms of explaining how things work and, you know, telling us what we were allowed to do and what we weren't allowed to do and, you know, really covering all different angles of the tournament and the experience as a whole. And also to Sandy Harwit, who, holy cow, I mean, she's just phenomenally experienced and knowledgeable and so willing to share that with us. And I know you've known Sandy for a long time through her dealings with Noah and covering him through the juniors. But are there other people that you feel like, you know, really went above and beyond to help us out that I'm forgetting to mention?
Susan Mullane.
Oh, yes.
And her husband, yes. They were incredibly helpful and welcoming. And honestly, there were a lot of people there. You know, the whole group, you know, they were just wonderful. And anytime we had a question or we needed direction, you know, everybody was just very, very helpful.
Yeah, it was a very cool experience. And I'm really hoping we get to do this again, maybe at the U.S. Open, maybe at another tournament, maybe at lots of other tournaments. That'd be really fun. I think we make a good pair.
I think so, too.
I do have to share that the volunteer, I guess he's a volunteer, maybe he's a staff person, who was working the gateway into the players' lounge, every time you and I would walk through, he would make a comment, and then a couple of times I walked through and you weren't there for whatever reason, and he would ask me where my wife was. So
that's right.
We definitely were noticed, I think, as the ones that were so excited. I don't think either of us are in the least bit jaded by this experience, and I think I know if we have the opportunity to do this again, the excitement will still be there. I found it incredible. So thank you, Melanie, for sharing it with me and to my listeners and readers. I hope y'all enjoyed our coverage from the Open. I promise you I will shift gears and focus on other stuff, get us back to junior tennis and some college tennis stuff as well. But thanks for hanging in there with us, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Have a great week, everybody. Melanie, thanks so much for coming on today, and I'll talk to you probably later today and tomorrow and the next
day.
Sounds
good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everyone. See you next week on Parenting Aces.